Happy Fat Tuesday. We are going to get into the Mardi Gras spirit this hour and learn more about Cajun and Creole cooking. And we'll get some tips from our guest chef. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, February 28th. So do you cook Cajun or Creole dishes? What's your specialty? How do you plan to celebrate Fat Tuesday today? What's on your menu, whether you make it or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Ace Champion. He's a Louisiana native and a Green Bay-based chef and cooking instructor who specializes in Cajun and Creole cooking. He is the host of the TV show Cook Like a Champion and author of the book 8 Steps to Your Perfect Meal. His website is chefchampion.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us and getting up early.
Yeah, I know.
You've got something going on tonight, in fact, so hopefully you can get a nap in. Don't you have a special event tonight for Fat Tuesday?
Yeah, it's not till 7 o'clock. It's actually like a pop up restaurant where they let me come into their restaurant and act like it's my restaurant for the day.
Uh huh. And are you going to be doing something for Fat Tuesday?
Yeah, you know, we're going to start off with a couple of brats and cheese curds, you know, keeping it real Wisconsin.
Put a little spice on that.
Put a little spice on that, a little Cajun season. No, it's a full five-course spread, all Cajun theme, all Mardi Gras theme. The first course is my three-cheese Creole crab dip, which was also featured in Louisiana Magazine. Ooh. And then the second course is French Quarter chicken and sausage gumbo, which if you've never had gumbo before, it's kind of like Wisconsin chicken bouillon on steroids. Really, really good stuff, though. And then the third course is my double award-winning pan-seared Door County cherry pork tenderloin with the mushroom port wine butter sauce. So it's kind of like a Louisiana Wisconsin infusion, if you want to call that. And then the third course is my chicken and sausage wild rice jambalaya. So it's your traditional jambalaya with a little bit of a twist with the wild rice. And then we're going to finish it off with my double award-winning New Orleans style bread pudding with a Southern Comfort cream sauce.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope that we can get a little bit of guidance through maybe one or two of those recipes as
sure.
we go along. It sounds delicious. But let's talk a little bit about you. Starting with your name, what a great name. Is it really Ace Champion?
It is. Well, Ace is actually my nickname. Champion is really my last name.
Uh-huh. And well, that's perfect. You picked up a nickname because of sports,
right?
Or something?
Yeah, well, it all started when I was in high school. And I, you know, I've had many a nickname growing up, Champ, you know. Mm-hmm. But then when they use my last name, then they lose room to make fun of me because then they'll call me Chump and all that other kind of stuff. So when I played baseball, I was actually the starting pitcher, which made me the ace pitcher. So they started just calling me Ace. I'm like, oh, that really fits well with my last name. Ironically, when I picked up the last name Ace, it actually made me become a stronger person because, you know, now I have a name to live up to. You know, you can't just walk around and call yourself Ace Champion and, you know, be a loser. You know?
Yeah. And just like I can't be crabby with a name like Joy, except I do my best.
Right.
Well, tell us, you're from a small town in eastern Louisiana, north of New Orleans. You told my producer Bill Martins that it was kind of rough growing up. What did you mean?
Yeah, it was. I mean, for those that don't know about Louisiana, it's a severely poor state. Not really a state for entrepreneurs, especially a chef entrepreneur. At the time when I left, I worked in New Orleans. You know, I worked at a sausage plant. Monday through Friday, then I worked in the restaurant Saturday and Sunday. So I was working 7 days a week. I didn't have a vehicle, riding my bike 12 miles a day. Just like my grandpa used to tell me his stories, and I never believed him. Now I see that it is true. And at the point, I just couldn't get ahead because you don't make that much money in Louisiana. I mean, we're talking, I was a chef at some fine dine restaurants making $7.50 an hour. Now, granted, this was 11 years ago, but still, it's still pretty low for then. So that's what sparked to have me move up here to Wisconsin, because I had some friends that I actually used to live with that moved to Green Bay, and they were like, oh, you should so come out to Green Bay. There's a lot more opportunity. And the fact that no one's really doing Cajun Creole out here was a bonus for me, because being a good cook, cooking Louisiana food in Louisiana is like being a good cheesemaker in Wisconsin. You know, it's like, okay, so what? Everyone makes cheese, you know, it's no big deal. And that's kind of where I was out there. So that's why I moved out here about 11 years ago.
Yeah. So how did you start cooking? How did you start learning how to cook?
Well, my mom always had me in the kitchen when I was a kid, you know, kind of doing her side work, the work that she didn't want to do. So I was always peeling the onions and peeling the potatoes, which explains my knife skills today. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got my first job at 18 as a dishwasher, and the cook used to always have us make he used to have to make our food. Well, one day he said, you know, you should make your own food. And I was so terrified of trying to cook. And he said, just sit back and just watch. So I watched him for about 10, 15 minutes, and I was hooked, because I couldn't believe how one person can cook. I mean, we're talking 15, 16 orders all at once and have them all come out in sequence at 10 minutes apiece. I just thought that was the most fascinating thing in the world. So I was like, you got to teach me. So I've been learning ever since. That pretty much was my hook right there.
Yeah. So now that you've been in Green Bay for a while, has the city warmed up to Cajun and Creole food, or is it still Booyah, brats, and cheese?
Oh, you know, it's always going to be Booyah, brats, and cheese, no matter what. I'd have to start a food revolution to change that. You know, I would say what I had to do with the Cajun was I couldn't just promote it as Cajun, because people don't realize Cajun and Creole are two completely different things. And when you think of Cajun, they just automatically think, oh, it's way too hot, it's too spicy, it's going to mess my stomach up, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, the spice is in the hands of the chef. I can make the most blandest shrimp etouffee you've ever had before, you know, and jambalaya with no heat. So I actually just started making food and not really describing it. I would describe the actual dish, like pan-seared pork tenderloin, mushroom pork, wine, butter sauce. Even though it's straight Creole, I wouldn't tell them that until after they ate it, of course. And then I was like, oh, by the way, did you know that was Creole? And they were just blown away, because they really just didn't understand. So there's a lot of education that had to go behind me surviving in the Green Bay area, especially me taking my own pictures of my food on my website, because I can tell you all day, oh, yeah, I made shrimp etouffee, and a true Wisconsinite is going to be shrimp etouffee. You know, they're not going to get it, you know. So by me taking pictures, whether they know what the dish is or not, they know that, oh, that looks good enough to eat, I'll eat it. So that's kind of how I had to change my ways.
So Ace, what
and not make it so spicy.
So I guess what I'm getting from this is Cajun is spicy. Creole is not. Is that about right?
Yeah, because Cajuns, yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with true Cajuns. They're the ones that live on the bayous. The bayous are the swamps, and they live off the swamps. So they're eating alligator, raccoon, squirrel, lots of rabbit, lots of turtle.
So, you need some spice for that, huh?
Oh, my God. You need lots of spice to sit down and eat a big bowl of turtle soup. But the Creole end of it, which is mainly the type of food you find in New Orleans that everyone loves so much, that's actually a blend of South African, Indian, French, and Spanish, all infused in together. So that's more predominantly on the French end, the Creole cooking is, but it's really that high-end type food. And that's really the food that I specialize in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see that it's a blend of different types of food, but is there some key aspect that stands out that this is a Creole dish?
Oh, really, what makes the Creole dish is the way is the techniques. You know, a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people out here, especially in Wisconsin, they'll try and mimic a lot of the cooking from Louisiana. And sometimes they get it right, sometimes they don't get it right. And I think mainly that's because they'll just look at a Creole recipe off the internet. But unless you're really down there and you see the techniques like the making of the roux, making sure it's nice and dark, you know, all the pan searing that we do, you know, a lot of it is the technique that makes the Creole, the cooking, you know, because anybody can throw together some jambalaya, but if it's done in a certain manner, it's obviously going to taste completely different.
Well, we will find out how to make some Creole dishes, and we will welcome your questions for our guest chef, Ace Champion, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What is your favorite Cajun or Creole dish, and how do you plan to celebrate Mardi Gras? Let us know after we check the latest news.
Ah, y'all sing pretty out there. Joe Daring, boy.
Gonna have some fun tonight. Till the morning sun be bright. Gonna have some fun tonight. Till the morning sun be bright.
So are you planning on having some fun tonight to celebrate Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday? What's on your menu? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are celebrating Mardi Gras and getting into the spirit with a taste of Louisiana with our guest chef, who is a Louisiana native but now lives in the Green Bay area. And he is discussing the finer points of Cajun and Creole food. And we will talk about some recipes. And we invite your questions and your favorites as we celebrate Mardi Gras. And our guest is Ace Champion, a Louisiana native, a Green Bay-based chef, a cooking instructor who specializes in Cajun and Creole cooking. He is the host of the TV show Cook Like a Champion, author of the book 8 Steps to Your Perfect Meal. And before we get into some specific dishes, Ace, what is it like celebrating Mardi Gras in Louisiana, in New Orleans in particular? Is it as crazy as it looks on TV?
Oh, yeah, if not crazier. A lot of people don't realize that Mardi Gras is actually a two-week carnival. You know, people just think it's just that one day on Fat Tuesday, but Mardi Gras has been going on for 2 weeks in Louisiana. And if you can just imagine massive 18-wheelers just decked out and dressed up into, like, their characters, and people are on top of the 18-wheelers just throwing beads and teddy bears and just all kinds of stuff at the crowds. But down there, you kind of got to work for your beads a little bit. You know the myth.
Yeah. I'm wearing some beads that I did not work for.
You didn't work for That's okay. We're in Wisconsin.
I've spent some time in New Orleans. In fact, that's where my husband and I had our honeymoon 31 years ago. I've been back once or twice since then, but it's been a long time, and I really do want to go back because it's such a fun city. And I do remember, eating to my heart's delight down there. There is much good food, and one of my favorite things to have is gumbo. I mean, there's a place called the Gumbo Shop, and we went there morning, noon, and night.
Yes.
What is the secret to a gumbo? Do you put roux in a gumbo?
Yeah, the roux is your thickening agent, which is your flour and on oil. That cooks for about 30 minutes. A lot of times when people make gumbo, they don't want to take the time to really make that traditional brown roux because you literally have to sit there and stir it consistently for about 20 to 30 minutes. I would say the more secret to the gumbo is the time that you cook it. You know, are you making the broth from scratch using a whole chicken? You know, are you letting it simmer for hours? Because traditional gumbo should take about 3.5 to 4 hours. So if you get one of those gumbo recipes that are made in 30 minutes, it's probably not authentic.
In fact, I remember there's a couple of Creole restaurants in the Madison area, and one had a really super thick, dark brown, brewy gumbo that was something that I hadn't really had before. I'm used to it being a little a little thinner than that. So the thicker the better as far as you're concerned?
No. That's just Welcome to Wisconsin's version. That's all that was. No, gum, when you add in the roux for the thickening agent, it's just a light thickening agent. So imagine chicken noodle soup a little bit heavier, but it definitely should not be really, really thick like that. Some places and some restaurants, sad to say, but they don't make their gumbos from scratch. They pretty much order it, you know, in a bag through another company. And I don't know if that's what you had, but that could have been a possibility. But yeah, it should be just, like I said, kind of like your chicken bouillon, just with a lot more ingredients in there and just slightly thicker.
Another favorite of mine, and I know this isn't all about me, but it's the I guess I consider it that one of my favorites down in Louisiana is the po' boy sandwich and the shrimp po' boy sandwich in particular. So,
I'm still trying to educate people on po' boys out here.
Oh, really? So, they're super, and I know you can. Gosh, you can have them with oysters and all sorts of stuff. But I do like and you have to have it on I think you're supposed to have it on a real, kind of a crusty French bread, or what is
it? Yeah, like the crusty French bread, you know. Sometimes, I've seen them out here, like done on a holy bread and stuff like that. The whole thing about the po' boy is in that bread is actual real cooked food. Like, we're talking fried catfish, you know, real fried shrimp, fried oysters, versus, you know, the typical Wisconsin, you got what we have out here, the Herberts and Gerberts and the Jimmy Johns, you know, where there's really not a lot, in the Subways, of course, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, actual cooked product in there. So that's really what makes po' boy so special. It's real food in there.
Yeah, and it is good real food. There is a sauce. Is it a
Romelade sauce, which is pretty much like a jazzed up mayo or some type of aioli. You know, you just mayo is your base, and then you start adding in your peppers, your cayennes, and your Cajun spices, and, you know, all the other Worcestershire, all your other little ingredients in there. And it can be used as a spread, or it can be used as a dipping sauce. Romelade is also good with, like, crab cakes or hush puppies and things like that, too.
Well, Ace, you don't know this, but I am not. I like to talk about food. I like to eat food. I'm not very good at making food. I try. I do try, and usually with mixed results. And I'm continually trying to learn. And one of my new things is that we have subscribed to one of these food delivery services. I'm just trying it out, and it's Blue Apron.
Oh, yeah, Blue Apron. And yes, I know about them.
Yeah, you know, but for me, it's kind of nice to have somebody, do all the shopping and
right.
have the ingredients in the size that I need them, and maybe some of them are kind of unusual. Well, the very first meal I made last Friday was Cajun catfish. And,
oh, nice.
And it was good. I liked it. It really was. And it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. The one thing I did learn, though, is that they had a little thing of Cajun spice. I'm not sure exactly what was in there. It just was called Cajun spice, and said, put as much as you want in the rice. And so we put like two drops, not hardly even two, just barely put a few shakes on there, and it was so hot we could barely eat it. I mean, what's the deal there?
Oh, no. Well, see, and that's the miss. That's how it kills me. And I get why a lot of people in Wisconsin say, oh, Cajun is too hot. Because there are some Cajun seasons out there that are too hot. And when they're too hot like that, you can't really enjoy the food anymore because, you know, you're just so worried about the heat. My choice of, and that's why you got to be careful where you get your Cajun season from. My choice of Cajun season, don't laugh, but it's actually called Slap Your Mama Cajun Season. I don't know if you ever heard of it before.
I saw it on a website with you featured on it, yes.
They sponsor my show, and they have just enough heat, but tons and tons of flavor. And to me, that's a good Creole cooking. It should never be like burn your tongue. I can't even enjoy the food. Just be a little bit in the back. So
it didn't ruin it for us. I was just surprised at the tiny bit that we put on and how much heat was generated from that. That's all. We could still eat it, and it was, and we had collard greens too, which is something different. So that was it was really it was a fun experience. So, how hard will it be for me to try to make your Creole crab dip?
as hard as it would be for you to make any other recipe. I teach for a living, and I get what you just told me. I get that all the time, you know. And what I tell people that, you know, and this is part of my book, that when you're trying to find a recipe, a technique I learned in college is called recipe research. What a lot of people do wrong is they just download the first recipe and go right into the kitchen and start cooking. Okay, well, just because it's on the internet doesn't necessarily mean it's a solid recipe. And whenever you're looking for a recipe for that particular cuisine, you actually have to ask Google to find that cuisine. So if we're looking for gumbo, and we know it's from Louisiana, I would Google search, find the best New Orleans gumbo or the best Louisiana gumbo. Because if you just put gumbo in there, you might get somebody's Texas version of gumbo with Tex-Mex in it. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know? And I always tell people, read the ingredients, read the procedure, and then I do a visualization technique called a visual motor rehearsal, or actually just role play in my head, going over the recipe over and over and over again. So when you physically start to do the recipe, it's going to feel like deja vu. And that's what people need to do when they're making a recipe. Get as much knowledge as you can of the recipe. Get as comfortable as the recipe as you can. And then one of the main things, too, which will really help you, is to have all your ingredients all measured out, all ready to go. They call this mise en place, fancy French word. It just means I got my stuff together. And that way, when you cook, you can just enjoy the cooking process.
Good tips, really good. Since I promised, though, our listeners that we would talk a little bit about one of your recipes
Sure.
Can you describe what's in your Creole crab dip and how you make it?
Yeah, the Creole crab dip, it's cream cheese and mayo base, you know, and then I add in some lump crab meat, a little bit of Worcestershire sauce, some ground stone mustard, Old Bay season, a little bit of Slap Your Mama, some Louisiana hot sauce, and then I actually dice up some green onions, red onions. Red onions, green bell peppers, red bell peppers, and then a little bit of celery, and pretty much just sweat that and then mix that in. And then I add a 6-cheese Italian blend. And then you kind of put that in a baking sheet, top that off with some more cheese, bake that off. And then really the kicker to the dip that really makes it stand out is the homemade pita chips. Mm. So I pretty much just take pita pockets and, you know, quarter them up into like little pizza slices and then peel them apart so they're as thin as possible. Lay them on a sheet pan, drizzle them with oil, olive oil, avocado oil, something like that. And then I always season them with Italian season. So I'll use Italian season, a little bit of basil, Cajun season if you want, or just a little salt and pepper. And then you just bake those off lightly for about 5 minutes. And then they're just like the most delicious crunchiness. And it goes so well with the dip. They're like hands down 10 times better than the pita chips out of the box.
Oh, does that sound good? And I also see on the recipe that you you can throw a little shot of like Southern Comfort or your favorite in there.
Yeah, I use, if you ever get a chance to watch my show, I use a lot of liquor. It's kind of my niche. Yeah, that's just deglaze the pan and just add a little bit of flavor. It's totally optional, you know. You always want to add a little bit of liquid to it, and I hate adding water because water just blends everything out. So I always use some type of liquor or wine or even stock.
Oh, so it gives it a good flavor kick.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, yeah, we don't add liquor in our food in New Orleans just for the show. It tastes good.
And I love how you, on the recipe, are calling for Crystal Farms Real Wisconsin Cream Cheese. So you're...
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's my... When I make food now, most of the food that I make is I call it infusion cooking. So you'll have flavors from all over the country, you know, including the New Orleans spice. I might throw some Italian in there. I might throw some, you know, Oriental soy sauce in there. And then, you know, the pure Wisconsin cheese, because we all know, I mean, Wisconsin makes the best dairy in the world. So why not throw that out there versus using Philadelphia cream cheese,
right?
God forbid, you know.
Let's, we are talking with Ace Champion about Cajun and Creole cooking. Ace is a Louisiana native and a Green Bay-based chef. He teaches others how to cook, and we welcome your questions for him. We welcome your favorite Cajun or Creole dishes, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Margaret in Kakana is with us. Hello, Margaret.
Hi. I went to college in New Orleans a long time ago, but my best friend was a fabulous cook, and she taught me how to introduce me to a lot of Creole and Cajun cooking. And being in New Orleans, I was only blocks away from the, you know, great food.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Everywhere.
And when I left New Orleans, my colleagues gave me a cookbook that was published by the Women's League. And I attempted the gumbo, the chicken gumbo in there. And the first time I made it, didn't quite work out because, well, it tasted okay, but it wasn't right. And I realized I was using whatever smoked sausage I could find instead
oh,
of...
Oh, no, you got to use andouille.
Yeah, and, well, andouille wasn't... andouille sausage wasn't around in,
oh, yeah.
until when
wow.
I first made it. It wasn't until years later, all of a sudden, it started showing up in grocery stores up here. Mm. And then, once I got the andouille sausage, then, you know...
Yeah, so what makes andouille sausage so special and that you need that, Ace?
Well, I mean, it's a traditional Cajun sausage. I mean, it's no different if you were making a Hmong recipe and they had Hmong sausage. I mean, the andouille sausage has all the spices and flavors that you would find, you know, in your traditional Louisiana Cajun spices. So it just blends itself so well to a true Cajun dish versus using like Polish sausage or anything like that. Because with Polish sausage, I mean, don't get me wrong, if you put that in there, you'll taste the sausage, but it's not really going to add flavor to the soup. Versus as you cook that andouille sausage in that, it's actually going to add flavor to your soup and the right flavors.
Margaret, thanks for sharing that. Are you going to be doing anything special today for Fat Tuesday?
Well, I had intended to make a king cake, which I was going to do yesterday, but then I had guests come over and I didn't have time to do it. And my king cake comes from that cookbook also, but I've started to, instead of the traditional just sprinkling with sugar, I do frost, use an icing because there's something wrong with my king cake because it comes out really dry.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Do you make king cakes, Ace?
I actually don't do a lot of baking like that.
Yeah.
For it to be dry, are you using, like, oil for your base for anything? Seems like you need some fat up in there. I know that doesn't
sound
good.
I think
I
use
butter.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, you use butter. Okay. Yeah, I would either use more butter because I know down in Louisiana, my mom and aunt, whenever they made stuff, they always added twice the amount of butter that the recipe called for. I don't know why, but they did.
Because they were smart.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Margaret, for the call. We have news coming up. I did bring a king cake in. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that tradition because it's kind of different with the little baby figurine that is often in the king cake. And we'll talk about some other desserts, too. I am really looking forward to hearing a little bit about this, about Ace Champion's bread pudding with Southern Comfort cream sauce. How good does that sound? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are learning more about Cajun and Creole cooking on this Fat Tuesday with Ace Champion, who is a Green Bay-based chef. This is the Ideas Network. We are celebrating Fat Tuesday during this hour with a chef from the Green Bay area who specializes in Cajun and Creole cooking, and we are enjoying learning more about dishes like po' boys and gumbo and lots of other things. And we're wondering if you have a favorite dish that you like to eat on Fat Tuesday or any day. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Ace Champion. He is a Green Bay-based chef, cooking instructor who specializes in Cajun and Creole cooking. He's the host of the TV show Cook Like a Champion, author of the book 8 Steps to Your Perfect Meal. He's also going to be celebrating Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras tonight in Green Bay at Gather on Broadway, where there is a 5-course meal lined up. And it sounds really good, including a Creole-style pork tenderloin. And the thing on the menu that I would most like to try is the bread pudding with Southern Comfort cream sauce. So, Ace, what is the that's a real traditional, or at least you think of it as traditional, that bread pudding with So, how did that all start, do you think?
Yeah, it's a real staple. What they do, when I worked in restaurants in Louisiana, what they would do is, as they're making sandwiches, you know, you get to all the end pieces, and before they would throw them away, but in Louisiana, they're, you know, they're pinching every penny, so they don't throw much of nothing away. So once that big bucket is full of all these end pieces of bread, then they would actually just make a basic custard, pretty much like as if you were to make a French toast batter, you know, your milk, your egg, a little bit of cream, your cinnamon, your brown sugar, and your vanilla. And then that bread, by the time, you know, that bucket filled up, would turn stale because, you know, it'd be about 2 to 3 days. And then they would throw that in the custard, and the bread would soak up and absorb, excuse me, all of the custard, and then they would bake that off into the oven. And that's how they did it traditionally. I don't do that. You know, I'm not making sandwiches, obviously. So I just use real, real French bread.
That sounds good, but it needs that booze in the sauce, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, you know, and the traditional bread pudding. I mean, you can go into a gas station in Louisiana and pick up bread pudding. That's how staple it is down there. But until you get to the finer restaurants, you won't really see that cream sauce, which is very simple. It's literally 2 cups of milk, 2 cups of cream, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of vanilla bean paste, and probably about 1/4 cup of whiskey or your favorite dark liquor. Yeah, that booze really, it really brings it to another level. It's really good.
I think that's going to be the next thing I try. It sounds so good. Do you know what the story behind the king cake? I did bring one in. It was a bakery made it, not me. And it's got this little baby figurine. It's got some beads on it. And it's purple and green and gold, I think. And this is something where whoever gets this little baby figurine in their piece of king cake somehow gets good luck or something like that.
Yeah, that's like the good luck baby in all the king cakes, and that's kind of like the thing, you know, like big corporations or whatever, they'll bring a couple king cakes in for their employees, and it's like, all right, who's going to get the good luck? So it's kind of whoever gets the slice of the baby is the one that's going to get the good luck for the year.
Sounds like you're not really a follower of this tradition.
No, I'm like, you make your own luck. You know, what is luck? You know what I mean? I don't foresee finding a little plastic baby in a cake that's going to bring you luck.
But, it's kind of goofy. Yeah,
it is, you know, but that whole New Orleans, the way they, you know, the way they celebrate things out there can get quite crazy, because, you know, New Orleans is the land of voodoo too as well.
Yeah, so that's true.
That's where you see all the masks and stuff like that. It's pretty crazy.
You know, Ace, I noticed that you not only are a chef, but you have a philosophy that I don't know if you infuse that in your cooking classes to some extent.
I
it's
do.
Really quite interesting. I mean, and maybe just as to set this up, I read in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel a profile on you from a few years ago that said that due to hereditary high blood pressure, you had a stroke at the age of 30, which left you blind in your right eye. Was that a setback for you? Is that
It was a huge setback. At that time, I was playing semi-pro football for 15 years. I just made the All-Star team. I was doing really well, booming in my career. And then I was actually a meat cutter at the time, and it happened while I was cutting meat at Cops. I had no idea what happened. Vision went away. I thought maybe something got in my eye. I actually drove myself to the hospital after I had the stroke. And they were just like, yep, you had a stroke. So that I really had to change a lot of my my ways. My diet wasn't the best, you know. I was a smoker at the time, so I had to give all that up. And it was really hereditary in both sides of the family. So I think going through that experience really sparked my kind of food revolution on when my cook, you see my cooking show. It's, I'm not going to give you five recipes that flies through it and you're like, okay, what'd they make? You know, I actually want you to sit down and learn the techniques and the steps, because I really want people cooking for themselves, because I really believe, you know, the obesity, all the sickness that's going around, it's all tied to what you put in your face, you know, in your mouth. They said it best, you are what you eat, you know, and if you can eat healthy food, and when I say healthy, I don't mean, you know, a big bowl of lettuce and some carrots. I mean, let's cook with real food. That's all I'm saying. No processed food, no GMO food, just, you know, meat from a real cow, you know, real eggs from a real chicken, you know, stuff like mm-hmm. that. If you can eat like that, man, your health is just going to just go so much better. You're going to live so much better.
Good philosophy. Cheryl on Facebook says, everyone talks about gumbo and red beans and rice, but a true Creole favorite is griots and grits. I think that's how you pronounce it. Maybe I pronounced it wrong. And she says, I can't recommend it highly enough. Grits I know, but griots, G-R-I-L-L-A-D-E-S. Does that ring a bell, Ace?
No, the only thing that I really know from Louisiana that even deals with grits is the shrimp and grits. So maybe she's saying it in the French version.
Because
a lot of times, well, all these Louisiana dishes are traditionally French. And instead of just saying what they are, they'll say it in the French terminology.
Oh, I see.
So I think she's talking about shrimp and grits, which are to die for. I actually have that in an episode that will be coming up in probably about 3 weeks down there in Madison.
Your show airs in Madison?
Oh yeah, on the my TV station every Sunday at 3 p.m.
Well, we'll be sure, and it's on. Check your local listings. It's on in other yep. areas of the state as well.
Almost, it's national. I just got picked up by three national stations. So, as of March 1st, I'll be in all of America, including Puerto Rico and Mexico.
Oh well, we looked it up, and I don't blame you. I didn't know this either. Griots. Medallions of various meats, conventionally beef, but veal and pork are also used. So it's a little meat medallion.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm thinking grits is kind of like the jambalaya. A lot of people think jambalaya is just shrimp and sausage, but the way they do jambalaya is pretty much a way to get rid of, to stretch your leftovers. So if you had a leftover pork roll from the night before, leftover shrimp from the night before, you know, whatever you might have, all that goes into a fresh batch of rice as your meat base. Kind of the same thing with gumbo, too, as well. So I think that's the trend for the grits, is you can probably pretty much saute any kind of meats and lay that over the grits, and it's just so good.
Linda on Facebook, and I don't know if you mentioned this, wants to know the difference between gumbo and a jambalaya.
Oh, my gosh, I know. It's a huge difference, let me tell you. Because when I worked at the restaurants out here, I saw the jambalaya, and it was soup-based. I was blown away. I'm like, there's no way this is jambalaya. This is more like gumbo. Gumbo is an actual soup, you know, and that's what it is. It's liquid-based. It gets served over a little bit of white rice, and I think that's where the misconception comes. Jambalaya is rice-based. There's no liquid at all in jambalaya, and that's where people, there's liquid that goes in it when you cook it, obviously, because you need that, but when the jambalaya is done, there's no liquid in it at all, and I think that's why a lot of Wisconsinites get confused, because some restaurants give you jambalaya that literally is gumbo. So yeah, gumbo is a soup, jambalaya is just rice-based.
Yeah. We had a caller who couldn't stay with us but wanted to know if you knew how to make crawfish or crayfish, Covington.
Yeah, all of those dishes are Louisiana. I've never heard of crawfish Covington, or maybe we're not saying it right, I'm not quite sure. But the most traditional crawfish dishes in Louisiana is like crawfish etouffee. And then obviously I do like crawfish pastries. Very easy, and you can make a lot of those dishes out here. I think Walmart sells the crawfish kale meat. And that's pretty much the base if you want to make any of these type. It sounds like it's probably like a crawfish sauce dish that's maybe served over white rice or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that the crawfish, that's ugly little things, but they taste like little baby lobsters, don't they?
They do. They do. They look like it. They taste like it. I tell people all the time, like, I don't want crawfish, but then they'll eat lobster. I don't get it.
So we have just a little bit of time left. What parting words of advice do you have for us about Cajun and or Creole cooking?
Well, like I said, whenever you're researching a recipe, always research. They call it recipe research. So research multiple recipes. Never just settle for the first recipe, especially when you're dealing with Creole. You know, I might go look in a book. I might ask a couple of people. I might Google search three or four different recipes. And make sure when you Google search the cuisine. So if you're trying to do Cajun, find the region that is in and go Southern Cajun cooking, and then you'll find the most authentic recipes that you can find. There's not very many Cajun dishes that are quick fixes, so prepare yourself when you're cooking Creole to be in the kitchen for a while, and, you know, just try and have good energy. A lot of people go into the kitchen and they're, you know, negative, you know, oh, this is going to take too long, or, oh, I'm never going to make this, and this is not my style. All that negative energy actually creates more negative energy. So it's very important to keep a positive attitude when you're in the kitchen to attract positive results.
I can do it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, yeah, and one last thing. They are still seats left at the Gather on Broadway. So if anyone out there is still interested to come into that five-course meal, just contact the Gather on Broadway either on Facebook or on their website.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Ace. This is the Ideas Network.